Sometimes I worry that not enough people hate me.
Time travel. My thoughts on time travel are simple. It exists, and we are in control of it. I'm no scientist. I barely made it through my relatively easy college class entitled Physics for the Curious. Our final was a multiple-choice test, and the answers spelled out Physics for the Curious. I didn't notice the pattern and got a C. Turns out I just wasn't curious enough. The only thing we can depend on in life is that everything changes. The seasons, our partners, what we want and need. We hold hands with our high school friends and swear to never lose touch, and then we do. We scrape ice off of our cars and feel like winter will never end, and it does. We stand in the bathroom and look at our face and say, "Stop getting old, face. I command you." And it doesn't listen. Change is the only constant. Your ability to navigate and tolerate change and its painful uncomfortableness directly correlates to your happiness and general well-being. See what I just did there? I saved you thousands of dollars on self-help books. If you can surf your life rather than plant your feet, you will be happier. Maybe I should have called this book Surf Your Life. The cover would feature a picture of me on a giant wave wearing a wizard hat. I wonder if it's too late. I'll make a call. So, change happens and time passes. And if you hate your stupid, boring town and can't wait to get out of there and show everybody what a kick-ass breakdancer you are, then this is good news. If you get really good at breakdancing and then realize nobody gives a shit about breakdancing anymore, this news is bad. Time moves too slow or too fast. But I know a secret. You can control time. You can stop it or stretch it or loop it around. You can travel back and forth by living in the moment and paying attention. Time can be your bitch if you just let go of the next and the before. I believe you can time travel three different ways, with people, places, and things. In the winter of 1997, the Upright Citizens Brigade was asked by High Times magazine to be judges at their world-famous Cannabis Cup. This was a high honor. Perfect pun. You're welcome. Before we took off for the Netherlands, a High Times interviewer sat down with us for a few hours and then realized he had never turned his tape recorder on. Heady days. So, we arrived in cold and wet Amsterdam, ready to sample marijuana from all over the world and finally settle the long-standing debate of whether or not Purple Kush is superior to White Rhino. As soon as we got to the venue, people started giving us weed, bags of it, pillowcases filled with it. An amount that would have taken any man or woman down. We were much more concerned about rehearsing our sketches. Matt Besser had written out a running order with cues that the lighting technician should follow. We were going over it when we were told the UCB would be opening for Patti Smith. Totally great pairing. Our show was pretty bad. A supremely stoned audience isn't the best audience for comedy, and our lighting technician lost our cue sheet before we went on. He literally lost it on the walk to the booth. Right before we were introduced, he came up and said, "Bad news, guys, I lost that list you made for me." Then he handed us a sleeping bag full of pot. Patti Smith was amazing. She talked about politics and sang like a soldier. She was so cool and interesting. She stomped around and spit on stage. Spitting is disgusting, but when Patti spits, it looks like ballet. Fun fact, Seth Meyers was in the audience that night. He was living in Amsterdam and performing with a group called Boom Chicago. It would be four more years before we would officially meet and instantly become friends for life. Do you think it's a coincidence that Seth was in the audience again during another seminal night for me? I don't. People help you time travel. People work around you and next to you, and the universe waits for the perfect time to whisper in your ear, "Look this way." There's someone in your life right now who may end up being your enemy, your wife, or your boss. Lift up your head, and you may notice. As I watched Patti perform, I took a mental picture of the moment, and I looked around, and I thought about my life. I felt grateful. I noticed every detail. And that is the key to time travel. You can only move if you are actually in the moment. You have to be where you are to get where you need to go. Cut to 2013. I'm at a restaurant in Los Angeles, and Patti Smith comes out of the bathroom. I freeze, and then I say, "Ms. Smith, my name is Amy Poehler, and my group opened for you in Amsterdam in the late 90s. She was very nice and polite and pretended to remember. Maybe she did. It didn't matter. She said, "Right, and a Mulemeester was there." I nodded my head, as if I understood what she was talking about, and then I went home and Wikipedia'd Anne de Mulemeester. She is a beautiful fashion designer who lives in Antwerp and is currently doing design inspired by Jackson Pollock. Of course, she and Patti are friends. Patti Smith knew who I was. I shook her hand. Suddenly, I was transported back to Amsterdam. Time stretched and bent, and I went for a ride. I dare anyone to prove that I didn't. Places also help you time travel. My grandfather, Steve Millmore, was a wonderful man. We called him Gunka, and he was a Watertown, Massachusetts firefighter and served as a machine gunner in World War II. He married my grandmother, Helen, and went overseas for 5 years until he came back and put his uniform in the attic and never spoke of his service again. He had 3 wonderful children, including my wonderful mother. He died of a heart attack on my front porch on July 4th, 1982, when he was only 65. I was 11. He was the first important person in my life to die, and when he did, it was the first time I realized that life is not fair or safe or even ours to own. I miss him. Gunka had a Wurlitzer organ, and he loved to play. His grandchildren would sit on his lap, and he would play Bing Crosby or Nat King Cole, lots of Christmas tunes. He wrote songs for us when we had the chicken pox. He went through his songbook and put numbers over the notes and then made a corresponding chart on cardboard that he laid over the keys so we could play songs ourselves. For a while, I thought I was a genius and could totally play the organ. The reality was that I was the luckiest girl in the world because I had a grandfather who was a magic maker. Sitting on the organ bench was important. Now that I think of it, benches are cool, sacred by design. Benches are often a place where something special happens and important talks take place. Look at Forrest Gump, or Hoosiers, or outside a brunch place. Brunch benches are where it all goes down. After my Nana passed away in 2003, my family took Gunka's organ and put it in the basement of the house they shared, and it sat there for 10 years, waiting for its chance to travel. And now it lives in my apartment in New York City. My boys play it all the time. They sit on the same bench I sat on and feel the same good feelings of family and home. One night when I was feeling lonely and stressed, the organ started buzzing. I think Gunka was trying to talk to me. I sat on the bench and felt better. Inside the organ bench is old sheet music with my grandparents' handwriting. I also found a song that I wrote when I was 7. It's a poem that has numbers written above it, so it can be played the special way on my special organ. I wrote it in the past and put it in the sacred bench so I could pull it out at just the right time. Time is just time. Time travel, y'all. Here's what I found. It's a poem with numbers, but I think it's supposed to be a song, so I'm gonna try to sing it and make up a tune. Have a nice day, hope you have a nice day. I hope you aren't sad, it makes me feel bad to know that you're not glad. So please have a nice day today. Finally, things can help us time travel. A few summers ago, I was feeling sad. I was in Atlanta and went shopping in a vintage store. I don't love shopping for clothes. I just wish I could wear a daily uniform. As previously noted, I had to look up Anne de Mulemeester on Wikipedia. In the shop, I found an old-timey bathing suit. I brought the bathing suit home and I looked at it, and I thought about who might have owned it before. The bathing suit didn't fit into my life at that moment. I was too busy to go swimming. I felt disconnected from my body after having kids, and I was sad. I sat in the moment, looking at that bathing suit. I thought about how long my winter had been. My brain fooled me into thinking the winter would never end. I closed my eyes and I thought of what my life would look like when it did finally end, what 6 months from now might feel like. I put this bathing suit in a drawer, and it waited for me to take it traveling. And then, 6 months later, I went to Palm Springs with a bunch of wonderful women. They were my beautiful friends who had helped me through a difficult year. We were going swimming, and I reached into my bag to find a bathing suit. And I had put this old-timey bathing suit in with the rest. I tried it on again, and I felt beautiful. I thanked the bathing suit for waiting for me. I got into the pool with Rashida and Catherine and Aubrey, and I thanked the women for holding me up when I couldn't hold myself. I thought about the woman who had worn that bathing suit before and realized she was another woman who had helped me. I thanked her, too. I realized I had traveled again, this time into a happier future. I stood in the sun. I thanked the sun. The more I time travel, the more I learn, I'm always just where I need to be.